Okay, guys, let's start doing the Great Debates podcast.
Let's start doing it. Healy, put your phone down.
I had to.
Okay. What are you doing? What are you doing that's
are
so...
Are you Googling? Or,
I had to look up a date.
Are you on Wikipedia preparing for debates?
No, I'd never cheat. That's Ooh. Dave's way.
And yet you're looking up a date. What's that?
That's no, I'm Dave's looking up because in host chat, I'm going to promote
okay.
an event. And
if
I just
it's
want
host
to
chat,
it
it's okay. If okay. it's for host chat, it's okay. Gosh. Dean's...
I got a top ready to go.
Let's
yes,
go, let's go.
Can we do it? A micro debate, 3 minutes on the clock. Yeah. Steve Healy taking the pro.
I'm excited.
Our meaning your great grandfathers would be friends.
Okay, yeah, I think that our great grandfathers would be friends. Let's imagine the historical circumstances is probably about 1920 or so, and they're when they were about our age, and they're living in the slums together. They're both probably recent immigrants. My great grandparents, well, one of my great grandfathers, we learned recently, would have been a quarter African, West African. So who knows what was going on there? But I'm guessing these were people who were like immigrants, and they could get along. They're probably, if we have some of their traits, then they were easygoing, likable, jolly kind of people. Sure, life is hard and they had a struggle, but if they met at the bar on the neighborhood corner, they probably had a nice time and joked around and were affectionate with one another.
Did your great-grandfather speak Yiddish?
Okay, he might have spoken Italian.
He might have spoken Italian.
Yeah.
Well, my great-grandfather did not speak Italian.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure they didn't speak English.
They all spoke Yiddish.
Oh, yeah. They definitely spoke Yiddish as their first language.
Are friendships possible across language barriers?
I think they're possible, but yeah. I don't think that means that they would
be friends.
First
of all, they were in the United States, right? Your great-grandparents?
The great-grandfather I have in mind, his name was Isaac. They called him Ike. And he, what?
Already he sounds like a great guy. He's got a fun nickname.
What?
He's living here in the U.S. Tell me about him.
He came to the U.S. in, I believe, 1916 or 1918. I think he was naturalized in 1918.
Okay.
And, you know, he first went to, like, Durham, North Carolina. That's where he settled and tried to make it down there. I don't know where he would have even run into your great-grandfather. But he spoke, like... two words of English. I don't know what they would have talked about. They had nothing in common. Your great-grandfather, I'm sure, would not have trusted my great-grandfather.
Why? Dave, you're making so many leaps and assumptions.
No,
this is crazy.
Look, through no fault of your family, there was intense prejudice against Jewish immigrants.
Against Italians and Irish people as well.
Yes, that's true.
Well,
you raise a good point. There's a very good, I don't know, but there's a good chance that my great-grandfather would have had no time of day.
First of all,
wouldn't have given any Irish immigrants time of day.
It's a known fact that Jews and Italians like always really get along. That's like happens.
What?
Yeah. We're arguing right now. But like we're friends. I mean,
yes,
there's not really
that's
hatred.
True.
Yeah, that's a known thing.
We have an enormous amount in common. And our great-grandfathers have almost no common ground.
Disagree.
Yes, they might have shared the immigrant experience, but they wouldn't have had the language with which to communicate about it.
This is a little hard because it's both an abstract and a specific, but let's take my specific great-grandfather who was an Italian immigrant, okay?
Yeah.
So he's living in Quincy, Massachusetts. Now, geographically, maybe our...
Okay,
let's put them together.
He
knew Finnish people. He knew all... There was all kinds of ethnic mixtures. He lived in like a tenement house.
Here's the thing. You have to... Basically, I'll go to a different kind of argument, which is that, like, our great-grandfathers, I don't know what kind of personality either of these people have, but basically, like, most people don't become friends with each other.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying, man?
Okay.
You're basically saying, like, two random dudes would be friends.
Yeah, I think a lot of randos become friends. I think
become
most people
friends.
Become friends because they're proximate, right?
Well, these guys weren't proximate.
Well, that's so lame. Let's imagine them proximate and then debate. Right?
I think this right. Well, I think that's what we did.
Yeah,
actually.
And I think I prevailed.
I think Dave won.
Yeah.
He brought facts into play.
Yeah.
He had some information that you didn't expect, and it kind of, you know, blew you out of the water.
His twist was that the guy spoke Yiddish? Who cares? I didn't like this whole debate.
Also, he didn't try. I mean, I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
Not
what?
That
the
Dave,
loser
I'm not
the
disappointed
listeners.
That you lost. I mean, you won. I'm just disappointed that your great-grandfathers wouldn't be friends.
If Dave wins, is it usually disappointing?
No. It's very exciting.
What's
when either
going
of you win.
On? Healy, why are you taking... Why has this become a personal attack? What...
Because you guys are such good friends that he just...
I want our grandfathers to have been friends.
It's like,
and I think it's pretty possible.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I think if our great-grandfathers had, for example, gone to school together the way we did,
yeah,
and been part of like the same so, social circle.
Mm-hmm.
I bet they would have been tight bros.
Good friends. Well, great. Yeah. There
I just like to believe that.
If they'd both been on the Lampoon together?
Yeah, I think they would have been like, you know, if they had a little something in common, they probably would have. I like to think that our ancestors were mostly good people, and they probably just would have broed down hard.
There's mm-hmm. a lot of good people I'm not friends with. Like, you don't have to be friends with everybody who's a good person.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right?
Like, name a good person that you're not friends with.
Well, I don't know them because we're not friends.
Right.
Tim Kaine.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a great example. I'm not friends with him either.
Are we in the host chat?
Oh. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Speaking of good people, you know, I heard something recently. There was an episode a number of weeks back where we were talking about Republicans and Democrats, and Healy sort of semi-famously said, like, the Democrats have the rock. And I've heard that it's not true that the Democrats have the rock.
Oh, that the rock might lean to the right.
The rock is a huge Trump supporter, from what I understand.
No.
It is?
That's awful.
I haven't heard that.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard about the rock.
He's not public about it, is he?
This is some information that came to me. And so the Democrats don't have the rock.
What are the politics out there in Samoa?
It bums me out a little. It makes me feel weaker.
Oh, yeah. You want the strongest guy on your team.
Huh. I'm surprised that he hasn't been public about it. I guess, you know, Democrats buy movie tickets to paraphrase Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm. I have a feeling he'll go to the White House with Hillary, you know, someday.
Oh, yeah.
He'll be cool. Yeah.
He can hang.
Yeah.
Oh, the
he's not going to embarrass himself in a Democratic crowd.
Somebody told me that Pitbull is a very Republican kind of guy, and the Republican Party is constantly trying to get him to run for stuff or like get involved because he's like their only guy.
They want him to be like governor of Florida or something.
Yeah.
Wow. How about Justin Bieber turning down $5 million? That was cool.
He turned down $5 million
to play at the RNC
because LeBron James told him not to. Right?
Is that what happened?
I thought I heard that LeBron James was like, "Stay the hell away from this thing, man."
LeBron James.
Yeah, you didn't hear that?
No, I only heard half the story.
Back channeling.
Yeah, that's cool, right? It's cool that LeBron. I took away from that story that LeBron is cool.
LeBron is clearly cool.
He's
the mayor of Cleveland.
Hey, on the day that this episode drops, I'm going to be in Australia or New Zealand.
So, in other words, you're in Australia right
now. I'm in Australia right now, or actually, I'm in New Zealand. I'm going to the Christchurch Word Festival. If you're in Christchurch, New Zealand, come check me out. Then I'm going to Avid Reader Bookstore up there in Brisbane.
Oh, the
come
Avid Reader.
Say hello. And then I'll be down at the Melbourne Writers Festival.
In Davis, California, there's an Avid Reader.
Really?
It's one of the best stores in Davis.
Yeah.
And you know, koala cuddling is legal in Brisbane.
It's legal in Queensland. Yeah, you learned
Brisbane.
That. Would you recommend koala cuddling?
I wouldn't. That's what they refer to it as, cuddling.
Yeah.
I wouldn't expect too much cuddling like
it's kind of one-sided
claw cuddling. It's more holding.
You love cuddling.
I do love cuddling.
What animal would you most like to cuddle? Would you like to cuddle a panda?
No, that feels a little big and wild. Mm. You know, I like cuddling. Just like cuddling a good puppy is great. Like a good mid-sized puppy. That's fun. I don't want anything that sheds, and I don't want anything that has like scary teeth.
Are there any animals that you think are like surprisingly, they're actually great cuddlers, like a lizard or something?
No.
No lizard.
I don't want to. I don't want to cuddle a lizard.
I bet a snake could be a good cuddler.
An anaconda or something. Mm-hmm. The ultimate cuddle.
Listen, I think you're overthinking it. You just want something soft and furry, my God.
An alpaca or a llama?
No, you can't really get your arms around it, I don't think. You need something, you know, I don't know. Maybe if an alpaca could be the big spoon, I could see that. I could get into that. Do you think alpacas can be the big spoon?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think emotionally they can.
No.
I think they're somewhat limited emotionally.
No, yeah. They're not bred for that.
You should bring a photo back of you cuddling with a koala.
If I get to it, I don't know. This is not a priority for me, cuddling a koala, I gotta be honest. No one who's done it, it doesn't seem that great.
Hey, I want to shout out a listener who brought us some interesting information. Listener Ning Tay on Twitter showed us the raindrop cake, which was relevant to our debate about water and whether it has flavor. And Healy's point was like, could you make a cake out of water? No. A watered flavored cake? No. Clearly there are people out there, if you look up raindropcake.com, who are doing just that.
Well, rain could have a flavor.
Oh,
God, Healy. I thought it was my point that cake, you would make a cake out of water.
I don't remember whose point it was.
Maybe it was yours.
So Ning Tae tweeted at us something about listener
about the raindrop cake.
And what is the raindrop cake?
It's inspired by traditional, I'm not even going to try to pronounce. It's Japanese. Uh-huh. It's light, delicate, and refreshing. It's a raindrop made for your mouth.
You know, when you need some refreshment, you just want a cake.
Surely, though, it must have a taste other than just water.
I think it has the taste of water.
If this is a Japanese
thing,
it
has the structure
surely,
of cake.
We can surely get this in L.A., and we should go and have
If anyone some. Could send us a raindrop cake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know where you send it, but...
If you just put Great Debates, Los Angeles, California, it'll get here.
Yeah. Right. You know, I was really bothered the other day. I was reading about somebody or another that was one of those famous guys that you could write him a letter. I always hate that. It's never an interesting fact that, like, you could have sent a letter. Elvis was so famous, you could just say Elvis and send it to Memphis and it would get to him. Big whoop! That's how the post office works. They sort out the mail and they deliver it.
I mean, it's kind of cool. Because obviously you could not send a raindrop cake to Great Debates, Los Angeles,
yeah,
California.
You can't do that.
Try it.
But if we got to a certain point, it'd be interesting if you could. And then, like, the postmaster in that station, like, listens to the Great Debates. And he's like, "Oh, I'm going to shuttle this over there to
I'm bring it to the guys." Maybe you're right.
I like your use of the phrase "big whoop."
Yeah,
that took me back.
I haven't heard that one in a while.
Took me back to a simpler time.
Big whoop. So what?
Hey, speaking of simpler times,
yeah,
a lot of people are heading back to school.
It's that time of year, back to school times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I thought I have some top about them.
Wonderful.
That are related to going back to school.
Let's top.
The first
about them's.
The first one is from listener Henry J, and the top is the first day of school is more fun than the last day of school.
Ooh. Oh, that's a great top.
Great top.
Kind of a great top.
That is a really good top.
I don't know. I think I disagree, but I love the spirit of it.
I feel like the last day of school tends to kind of, like, it often doesn't land.
It's a bit of a letdown.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't show up.
Yeah.
This is also, like, the older you get once you're in high school and stuff, often, like, the last day of school is like, I got to go in for just to pick
I'm
up a
doing
thing,
more,
and then
yeah.
I have to take a test,
yeah.
But it's basically I'm done.
Yeah.
And there's, like, it's almost unclear what the very last day is.
Yeah.
There's never that, like, Alice Cooper school's out for summer thing.
No.
Which you always kind of want. There's no, like, confetti in the hallway.
Yeah.
Dazed and Confused. That might be the best movie ever about the last day of school.
Oh, right? God.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, did you see the spiritual sequel to Dazed and Confused? Everybody Wants Some?
Loved.
Fantastic.
First day of school.
I enjoyed it, too. I guess.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hey,
it's before the first day of school.
Okay, Linkletter. Keep an eye on that kid.
Okay. I've got another one. This one... from listener Henry T. And the simplicity, guys. High school is great.
That's tough.
I think there's a legitimate pro and a con here.
Yeah, I liked high school a lot. It's just, for some people, it's going to be the miserable nightmare.
The
for
worst.
Other people, it's going to be a pretty good time.
But as an institution, as like an American institution, it's got a lot going for
Ooh,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where would John Hughes be?
So, in some ways, it's so formidable.
It's one of those things.
Even if it is,
you can't even think about there not being.
Yeah, man,
good top.
That is a great top.
This one submitted by debater Dave King.
Oh,
Needham High
uh-huh.
is better for teenage boys than Roxbury Latin.
Oh, interesting.
You know, pros and cons. I think it depends on what kind of guy you are.
Well, like, which one did you go to?
I went to Roxbury Latin.
Oh, I went
which
to
is
Needham
all
High.
Boys. People should know.
Yeah, I went to co-ed public school. Because, you know, I'm not holier than anyone else. I'm not better than anyone else. And my tax dollars went to pay for it. So it seemed like the natural thing was to take advantage of it.
For
and
some
it's
reason,
one of the best high schools in the country.
For some
public
reason,
high
this
schools.
Really bugs you. I don't know why.
No, it doesn't. I just like to
I went to a private school. I don't know. I don't really know why. The decision was more or less made for me when I was 12. My parents
right.
were like, we heard about this school. I think it'd be good for you. And
yeah.
I think they were right in
yeah.
that I was like, would benefit from a lot of discipline and rigor.
Right.
And it's a school that had like a lot of value, like values-y type stuff. They forced you to play sports. It was like, an intensive experience in a way that I think was good for me, but maybe not for everybody. I don't know.
What sports did you play?
I was on the cross-country running team. That was what I was best at. Yeah. I played baseball a little bit and lacrosse a little bit. I was not as good at those.
I can't say that I personally really took advantage of the co-educational nature of Needham High School as much as I would have liked, but I do think it was, I mean, I loved it there. It was great.
Did you learn a lot about women?
I mean, we had like sex ed and stuff. Is that what you're asking?
I don't know.
I had some very close female friends, which I think I could not have had I gone to Roxbury Latin.
I think I would have gone the close female friend route as well.
But I think that was helpful for me in some ways.
Well, there you go.
All right.
And then along these lines, guys, I got a great debate.
Great debate. So one of these tops emerged and you decided it was the greatest of all.
It really floated.
No,
to
a different
top.
This is a different top.
A new top.
A new one.
Yeah. This one kind of rose above. Yeah, floated to the top. Steve Healy taking the pro. The topic is school is stupid.
I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. School is completely stupid.
Completely
it is a waste
stupid.
Of time. Yeah. Here's what school is basically designed to produce factory workers. It's designed to herd children, which are sort of in the after people moved off the farm when they didn't bother with school, people were living in cities and they needed factory workers, so they came up with these huge barns where they would round up all the local kids and teach them to respond to bells and sit at desks that were factory-like and do inane chores to prepare them for the work of factories. That's what school is. It has not evolved from that model. It is a huge waste of time. None of the stuff you learn is going to be of any practical value to you. It is just a basically societally sponsored daycare, which I guess is necessary, but you would learn so much more if you were just like apprenticing to a plumber or following your own avenues of exploration or somehow engaged in a service project. Do something outside of this ridiculous government-run garbage. School is a waste of time. It's stupid.
Well, certainly, okay. Certainly there's some, I'm Dave King and I'm taking the con. Certainly there are some things about school or maybe the schools you went to that are, lacking.
I'm saying this as a guy who went to, like, some of the best schools in the country.
Yeah, I don't think that the schools you went to reflect the ethos of factory workers, and I think that you're misrepresenting the schools that you went to. I'll actually say that as part of my opening statement. I think you've contradicted yourself. I think you've said that school, on the one hand, here is designed to make everybody turn into good little factory workers, and yet at the same time it has no practical value. Those two things don't square to me. I think the reason that they don't is that, in fact, While maybe small things like the physical space and the bells resemble in some way a factory setting, the content of what you're being taught is actually very far from the experience of working in a factory. There's actually been less of an emphasis on pre-professional skills over the years. That may or may not be a good thing, but we're certainly not teaching people to be factory workers, young children to be factory workers, nor should we be. I also think that you're just really evoking an outdated sense of what school is. More and more we see schools that are less rigorous, they are less standardized for every student. Schools are adapting to different styles of learning, and the old-fashioned everybody sit in rows of seats and learn your lessons and don't speak up unless you're asked a question, that isn't really what school is like anymore. It's much more collaborative learning, much more different forms of learning. School isn't stupid, school is smart.
So I would love it if school were smart, but we're here living in LA where people are doing experiments in school, and we have innovative charter type schools and private schools and stuff that's getting to more what you're talking about, adapting to different modes of learning and stuff. But all of that is that is becoming not school, basically. Like, what school is, I think, just for the debate, we can agree on some basics about school. School is classrooms. School is books.
Yeah,
school is homework.
Yeah, books.
All those things stink.
Yeah, but they're not stupid. Yeah, first of all, they don't stink, but they're not stupid.
The books you read in school are terrible. What are you
it's
reading?
Not true.
Yeah, what's a good book you read in school?
I read The Natural. I read The Assistant, both by Bernard Malamud. Those were excellent books. I read The Heart is a Lonely Hunter by Carson McCullers, one of my favorite novels of all time.
I'm bored just listening to this. Like, come
you
on.
You fucking ass. Don't act like you don't actually think those aren't good books.
I've never
read At least for a high schooler. Winesburg, Ohio. Actually, interestingly enough, I had the choice of reading Winesburg, Ohio in high school, and I decided not to because I thought it sounded lame. I read it later on. My God, I mean, it's one of the most incredible collection of stories of all time. I would have been If I had read that as a high schooler, I could only imagine what it would have done to
there's
me.
There's nothing wrong. You should be reading as a young person. Feed your mind. But the only reason you didn't read Winesburg, Ohio, because you didn't want to read a school book, because school is a bad brand.
No, that's not true. Ely, if you think that I wasn't into the brand of school, you're talking to the wrong person. I thought that Winesburg, Ohio, they were like, it's about it's a collection of like odd people and stuff in a spot. I was like, ugh, that doesn't sound great. But I didn't realize what was really at the heart of it. I loved school. I mean, you can't, that just doesn't hold water to tell me that I wouldn't have bought, wasn't into a school book because it was like,
Let's walk through a school day. You're getting dropped off at like 8:15. Some
most
ridiculous,
of school, by the
terrible
way,
time.
Is hanging out with your friends.
That is great.
It's unbelievable.
That's
you
not
have,
school.
It, for the rest of your life, you will never have the opportunities that you have in school, which are basically to do some things as simple as eating lunch with like 12 of your best friends.
Imagine the incredible lunches you would have had if there was no school.
What are you talking about?
You get
about?
12 guys Healy, together, have a picnic down by the lake.
You don't have school now.
Yeah.
Are you having picnics down by the lake every day? No, you're Postmates and Chick-fil-A to your house, just like I am. It's a fallacy that, like, yes, okay, again, there's some drawbacks to it because it's so institutionalized and to a certain extent it's rigorous. But it brings young people together and it's getting better and better. And it's certainly, while it may have some bad elements, it's certainly not stupid. The whole purpose of it, I mean, let's just, to sort of take a step back and argue the obvious, the whole purpose of it is to make people less stupid. It's to educate people.
Okay. School is stupid because it doesn't achieve. A stupid person or a stupid institution is not achieving what it's setting out to do, and moreover, doesn't even know what it's setting out to do. What is the point of school? What are we trying to do? Are we trying to make
educate children?
Educate them how? For what? To do what? None of these questions have been answered. School is
a
totally chaotic mess. We're teaching half the time. We're teaching geometry. We're teaching American history. What for? It's this crazy mishmash that just sort of happened to come up with stuff that's really just a pass the time for these kids to get them off the streets. There could be so much more interesting uses of the energy and enthusiasm and natural curiosity of children than herding them into boxes and reading to them about geometry.
Well, a lot of what most of the, as I understand it, the trend in education, including public education, is to use children's curiosity to their own advantage.
There is potential to someday have school not be stupid, but right now it's stupid.
I think this is just because you think there's too much like lecturing going on, not enough like listening to what the kids want to do.
I think we have no clear idea of what school is for, and we don't accomplish anything.
Let me ask you this: do you think kids would be stupider if there was school or if there wasn't school? Because I think if there wasn't school, kids would be stupider.
I say
not school is stupid, and school is not stupid.
That's a powerful closing statement.
Thank you.
I'm going on that. I'm going to say that school is stupid because it is totally uncertain of what it's trying to accomplish, and the means to accomplish it are totally chaotic and crazy. Yeah, it would be great if there was a thing that fired students up and got them excited and prepared them for life. School is not doing any of that. School is just a chaotic bureaucratic mishmash. For a lot of people, it's total misery. School is stupid.
Whew. I got to tell you, I think school is stupid, but I think Dave crushed this debate.
Yeah baby.
It's not my strongest outing. what makes you? What do you think is stupid? Do you think school is stupid?
Well, like, I mean, maybe it's insulting, actually. It's like you learn to stand in line.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the big takeaways from school is how to stand in line.
Yeah.
Right. And just sit there and listen.
You learn how to, like, have a big group of people look at one person and show respect to them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is important.
Respect authority, yeah. Basically.
Respect
yeah.
authority.
That's not great.
That's important sometimes.
Sometimes.
I think you learn how to, like, deal with your ability to, like, control your need to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
That's a big thing.
Right. So the big accomplishments of school are you learn about lines.
Who remembers anything that you learn in school? I mean, we do, all of us, the stuff that we're passionate about maybe or interested in or like whatever. But like the things that are the most important that we learn, the things that we apply literally every second of every day are the kinds of things I just listened. I listed, rather.
I mean, in a way, the best thing about school might be that it teaches you that life is going to be kind of tedious and you're going to be surrounded by weirdos and you're going to have to deal with them. Like, get used to it.
Right. Exposure
it's life
to
practice.
Exposure to others.
And as practice, it's, you know, it's not perfect, but it's not bad.
Yeah. I loved school so much. I was such a dork, man.
You loved, like, classes and that stuff?
Oh, classes, tests, the books, the backpack. Pencils, all of it.
Now, why didn't you like go into academic life?
Well, I thought about it. I mean, I think I just like, I don't know. I still would. I was still like drawn to the worlds of academia as a sort of like
what
area.
What field would you?
Well, I mean, you know, I majored in psychology, but I, you know, enjoyed English and the sort of like, humanities in general. I don't know, man.
My dad is about 70 years old, and he just retired as a judge in Massachusetts, and he's about to start teaching at school.
Oh, that's amazing.
He's going to teach social justice 2 days a week.
Wow.
The school, and he's getting the books and learning about it, and it's going to be great.
That's cool.
He has to learn about social justice. No, he has to learn about
teaching the kids about like the Constitution and stuff.
That's great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well done.
Cool.
It's cool.
Well, guys,
school.
I got to go home and do my homework.
Yeah, I am glad I don't have to do homework anymore.
Oh, God.
Homework
is true.
A drag.
That's true.
Maybe just homework is stupid.
Yeah.
In Finland, they don't have homework, right?
We should be able to get it all done during school.
Oh, yeah.
I think. If they could solve homework, it would be a lot better.
Yeah.
Why do we have to do homework? Why do we have to take it home with us?
Homework.
Maybe that's more like prep for this message. Is what your job
it's
is.
It's disorganized. It's like not properly designed if you have to do homework. School, that is.
Well, I mean, maybe some kids, they need that. They need something. They can't go home with nothing or they'll lose their marbles.
There's there's not enough time for kids to do all the stuff. Like once you start playing sports and trying to sleep, there's not enough time.
You're done.
It's really crazy the things we demand, like teenagers especially, to be doing in the course of 1 week.
They're starting to let teenagers get up later.
Yeah, they need to do that.
I needed that, man. It was hard for me to get up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was a monster. The only times I really fought with my parents was when they were trying to wake me up in the morning to get to high school.
Yeah,
I
don't like getting out of
bed. I was off. Oh, it's God, the worst. I was terrible. Mom! I am up! Mom! Oh, God.
But if you could change one thing about Needham High School, what would you change?
Oh, that's interesting. I don't know. It's pretty solid. I mean, you know, when I was there, there were some teachers who were clearly just like going through the motions at that point. Mm-hmm. There were some amazing teachers, but there were some teachers who were just like, you know, especially like the junior year and senior year teachers, they were a little like, okay, we all know the deal here, you know. Like, just come to the class and pay attention, and we'll all be cool. It's not going to be
a conspiracy
stressful.
Between teachers.
And yeah, it was a little kabuki theater.
One thing school teaches you is like how, you know, respect for authority, but also like how to cut a deal with.
Well, we had one teacher, Monsieur Gardner, my French teacher, who he did this weird thing where he was like. Did a project of some kind, and then he asked us all, like, what grade do you think you should have gotten on this?
Ooh.
And we all answered it, and he said, okay, his surprise was like, that's the grade you got. Whatever you said it was, that's your grade.
Okay.
And I was like, what?
Yeah. Was he hungover?
Maybe. I don't think so. It was no, Mr. Stauffer would have been the one who was hungover. We found alcohol in his desk once. We were like, "Ooh, this is weird."
Brother.
I don't know. Wonder he's playing
stuff like that.
Turns out it's really not interesting weird at all.
Or maybe it was. I think maybe we found like alcohol and mouthwash, and we were like, "Oh, that's." And he would show a lot of movies in hindsight. Oof. Yeah.
Hey, shout out to the teachers out there.
Yeah, I know I just for said sure. school
was keep stupid. Up the great, oh, my the great God, debates yeah. would be nowhere without the teachers.
No, we owe no, an that's awful
true.
Lot
that's
to
true.
The teachers hey, in schools.
Real quick, yeah. favorite teach like one or two favorite teachers and why?
Ooh, Mr. Guerra.
Yeah?
Yeah, he taught America since 45, but we used to call it Guerra since 45, because he would basically just dish about sex and religion, and mm-hmm. he was the football coach, and he was just mesmerizing, hypnotic guy.
That's great.
He was giving us what we needed when we needed it.
That's great. Mr. Stark taught U.S. history junior year, whatever it was, and instead of going through a survey, picked like five episodes from U.S. history,
mm-hmm.
and we went deep into like the Bill of Rights, and we went deep into civil rights,
episodes.
And it was like some shit that teenagers could get amped up about.
Should history be called episodes?
Yeah, I mean
that's great.
But we were, you know, we felt like revolutionaries and
that's
and
cool.
whatnot, activists in that class. It was pretty great. We listened to Public Enemy.
Really.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Stark, getting it done. Got to go with Miss Burke, English teacher, junior year. Also, my advisor for the yearbook. But man, taught me how to like read a book. Basically, that's I would so say. Cool. And Mr. Shields, who they called Wally White Shoes. His name was Walter Shields, and he was like my pre-calc teacher. And he was just the shit. He was just like old school. Suffer no fools. Either you get it or you don't. We're going to keep going. But he was the nicest dude. He was awesome. I loved him.
It would be
so fun.
Very
so
hard logistically fun. To organize, but if we each got our favorite teacher in for a Great Debates episode.
Fantastic.
That'd be cool.
Start working on it. Well, guys, it was another great episode. Enjoy the first days of school. All of you, all listeners who are still in it. And for those of you who aren't, I hope this brought up some fond memories. I'm looking forward to seeing you all next week. The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. Our audio engineer is Mackenzie Kellerman. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.